Mwanga Kandemiri, and good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, May 26th, 2016. I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening live from Washington. This is Ndimiake Mwakalyelye. Here are our top stories this evening. Critics say the rift in ZANU-PF will not end if President Mugabe does not resolve the succession question.
It will be folly for anyone to think that ZANU will live beyond Mugabe if Mugabe does not make sure that he foresees a democratic power transfer within his own political party.
The MDC formation led by Morgan Tsvangirai says all is set for its planned public protest this weekend in Bulawayo. And some Zimbabweans commend President Mugabe for pardoning thousands of female prisoners. All these stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. President Robert Mugabe yesterday appealed for unity in his party and castigated war veterans for fanning factionalism amid claims that they are backing a faction of the ruling ZANU-PF party, allegedly led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa. As Thomas Chiripasi reports from the capital, some analysts say the rift in the ruling party will not end if Mr. Mugabe does not redress and resolve the succession question.
President Mugabe told an estimated 100,000 supporters who marched in Harare in solidarity with him that factionalism within the ruling party should stop. His wife Grace is reportedly leading a faction calling itself Generation 40 or G40 that is said to be seeking to block Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, who allegedly leads another camp calling itself Team Lacoste, from taking over the presidency once Mr. Mugabe leaves office. Mr. Mugabe, who says he is not ready to retire, told ZANU-PF members, including war veterans, to shun factionalism, saying it was destroying the Revolutionary Party.
The party has no sunk factions as the party. Those who say they belong to this or belong to that are deceiving themselves. There is only ZANU-PF, and let us not hear discordant voices from whomsoever. Little groups to promote so-and-so or promote so-and-so. Those little groups are treasonous groups. They are treasonous groups. They spoil the party. There is the one group, ZANU-PF.
But political analyst Ibo Mandaza of the Southern African Political and Economic Series Trust says Mr. Mugabe's appeal for unity within his party would not bear fruit for as long as the succession question was not resolved. Mandaza says Mr. Mugabe's message was clear that he has no plans to hand over the power baton.
The message was twofold. One was to let everyone know that there was no successor. Therefore, if Emmerson Mnangagwa and those that support him think that Mnangagwa is a successor, then please forget about it. That was the message. The second was to tell the nation that the life presidency is confirmed.
Director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, Pedzisai Ruhanya, agrees, adding that problems that arise within structural organizations, such as political parties or institutions, can never be resolved at rallies.
Without doubt, Mugabe will go with the party, just like Kaunda went with the UNIP and Moi went with the KANU. But most importantly, it will be folly for anyone to think that Mugabe, ZANU, will live beyond Mugabe if Mugabe does not make sure that he foresees a democratic power transfer within his own political party.
Mandaza said yesterday's march to show support for the president indicates that the first family was establishing its roots in the military. He said the march was a direct response to Mnangagwa's political machinations.
The one thing which is quite clear is that the first family appears to have established a faction within the military security establishment, because the way this thing was organized, not to mention the resources which were made available for such an event, would show that the first family was able to organize using the youth to organize independent of the main military establishment.
The First Lady Grace Mugabe and Mnangagwa have, however, denied that they were leading any factions. Director of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, Memory Kadau, agrees with Mandaza and Ruanya, noting that the head of state thrives on using the corruption of his force in ZANU-PF to cling to power. ZANU-PF Youth League Secretary Kudzai Chipanga yesterday told Mr. Mugabe in his face that some of his unnamed senior cabinet ministers and party officials were corrupt, adding they were driving expensive vehicles when the country's economy was bleeding. Amid claims by Chipanga that corruption was rampant in government and Mr. Mugabe's claims that $15 billion from Chiatswa diamond proceeds was lost through corruption, Kadau said Mr. Mugabe lacks the political will to deal with corruption.
President Mugabe has no political will to act on corruption. On several occasions, we have had President Mugabe himself talking about corruption on public forums, making public pronouncements against corruption, but we have seen no action from President Mugabe. This is mainly because that President Mugabe, at the core of President Mugabe's rule, is to cling on power, not to act on several cases of corruption.
Ruanya further said the fact that thousands of ZANU-PF supporters marched in Harare yesterday would not help to revive the country's economy. He said as long as President Mugabe remained in power, no foreign direct investment would be injected into the country's economy. ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo was not reachable for comment as he was said to be attending various meetings in Harare. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The Movement for Democratic Change formation led by Morgan Tsvangirai says all is set for its planned demonstration in Bulawayo this weekend, noting that it is incredible that some people still want to show their support to President Mugabe and his ruling ZANU-PF party when they're allegedly responsible for the hardships that ordinary Zimbabweans are facing. Taurai Shava has more.
Addressing journalists at the Bulawayo Press Club today, MDCT Organizing Secretary Abednego Bebe said the party's top officials will lead the planned demonstration, but noted that he could not give more information on the issue. He added that the MDCT expects thousands of party supporters and ordinary people across the political divide to turn up to show their anger against the ZANU-PF government, which he claimed is responsible for the hardships that the nation is facing.
There is hunger in this country, there is unemployment in this country. Everything else is upside down. We are saying it is our time, it is our opportunity. Let's go and talk, let's go and talk loudly. And we believe that if we talk loudly, one way or the other, there are other people that within that regime that are going to listen and hear. And if not so, we believe that no one can stop people power.
While Mr. Mugabe and ZANU-PF supporters described as a resounding success yesterday's Million Men March in Harare to show support for the 92-year-old Zimbabwean leader, Bebe slammed the president for saying he will remain in office as long as people continue to elect him. He also attacked Zimbabweans who say President Mugabe should continue ruling the nation.
If I hear a whole person who is 93 years old claiming that he is not going anywhere and the people clapping, then I've got all the reason to say those people that were clapping need mental examination, because they are not normal human beings. Any normal human being knows that a person, when he reaches that kind of age, he needs to rest.
But Psychology Maziwisa, ZANU-PF's Member of Parliament for Highfield West, insisted they want him to stay in power.
You can make that claim if it's just two people supporting President Mugabe or five people. We are saying President Mugabe's leadership is plain, it is clear for everybody to see. He's an African icon. He has done remarkable work, not just for Zimbabwe, but for Africa. He's celebrated across the African continent. And we are, you know, privileged and lucky as a party and as a people to be associated with President Robert Mugabe. And that's exactly what we did yesterday, to say we appreciate you for that. We thank you. We salute your leadership. And we're going to keep rallying behind you for as long as possible.
Maziwisa further said the MDCT march will be a waste of time.
It's a failed attempt to try and counter the extraordinary march that we had yesterday. and it will come to naught. And I say this simply because you don't organize a march to try and counter something that was done on the lines of principle and on the basis of celebrating an African icon. I don't understand who they'll be celebrating. Morgan Tsvangirai is just a failed opposition politician who has tried to unseat President Robert Mugabe not once, not twice, but on several occasions, and failed dismally. And he has failed because he is bereft of policy ideas.
Responding to a question on the effectiveness of staging such protests, Bebe stressed that his party is based on principles of social democracy and is committed to gaining power through peaceful means. But one Bulawayo youth, who only identified himself as Tabani, said while he's unhappy about the situation in the country, he does not believe that such demonstrations can change anything.
It's just lip service. It's a much to do about nothing. They are saying this much is going to achieve this much, but there's nothing. You don't have concrete evidence that the march have forced the government to change. So I think, personally, I think the march are just waste of resources, waste of time for the youth who must be busy looking for money, but they are busy just marching.
The MDCT is staging public demonstrations to show its displeasure on serious socio-economic and political problems faced by Zimbabweans under the ZANU-PF government. An MDCT demonstration held in Harare last month drew thousands of supporters. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
Zimbabwean teachers say they're now spending a lot of time in bank lines instead of classrooms due to the current cash crisis in the country. According to Zimbabwe Teachers Association Executive Officer Sifiso Ndlovu, many banks have reduced cash withdrawals to as little as $50 a day to ensure that all their clients have access to the mostly scarce American dollar. The central bank has attributed the cash shortages to subdued production of various goods for export, externalization of money sourced in Zimbabwe, and other related issues. The RBZ mooted the idea of introducing bond notes or coupons to boost exports and ultimately increase money supply in the local market. Ndlovu tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri the only way to deal with the current cash crisis is through the use of plastic money or credit cards, as is the norm in other countries.
As you may know, that tomorrow is payday. Some teachers who were queuing and looking for resources today could not even access what they had in their banks because some of them were anticipating that their monies would be in and they would make probably last withdrawals today to accumulate sufficient cash to pay for their accounts, as most of our members are cash-dominated accounts. Now, we find that this is a challenge to many of them. And I saw quite a number of banks today that could not give all their clients enough cash. One bank that I will not mention here did not have money at all, and people were just queuing and waiting and hoping that somehow that it would be alleviated as the day goes by.
Some are suggesting that people should be paid through EcoCash. Do you think this will at least help ease the current problems?
I think all methods that are using digital transfer of money would be very much welcome. I think Zimbabwe is the only country now that is highly liquid, and we want to encourage as much as possible that we go plastic, we go digital in all our transactions, save for a few, of course, small transactions.
That was ZIMTA Executive Officer Sifiso Ndlovu speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. Some Zimbabweans have commended President Mugabe for pardoning more than 2,000 prisoners, including all women except two, who are serving life sentences or on death row for murder. According to the Herald, Mr. Mugabe granted the amnesty Monday through a government notice without stating the reason for making the move. The prison's services reportedly started releasing some of the inmates yesterday. Efforts to get comment from the Zimbabwe Prison and Correction Services were fruitless. Rita Nyamupinga Female Prisoners Support Trust, an organization that assists women prisoners, tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye that there is still a lot that needs to be done to ensure that those pardoned can be reintegrated into their families and some grieving societies.
It is a welcome development, but it has got its own challenges because at times when these inmates are released, they don't even know where to go because they might have left their families maybe 3 years, 4 years ago. Now they are coming back home. They've never been visited, especially with women. Some are never visited. For example, she will be coming from Goku and nobody has ever visited her. So where to find a way back to Goku? It's a bit of a challenge. One, she might not have or she might not know where to get transport from. And she is also afraid that how are people going to receive her when she gets home? Because she has committed a crime and in the community, and the family is still bitter with her, and the community is still bitter with her depending on the kind of crime. So this has caused a lot of stigma and discrimination and the fear within the ex-inmate herself. Her reintegration won't be as smooth as somebody who has finished the 7-year sentence. This is why you find, like in men, you would prefer to commit a crime again and come back to prison because the community, the family, is not ready to receive him. So issues of integration, rehabilitation, and reconciliation should be considered in such circumstances. They are not prepared. They haven't been prepared psychologically to receive that person from prison. And the prisoner herself is not ready.
So when these women are released, how are they assisted by the prison services itself? Or do you then step in to try and be the conduit to make sure that they get to their families?
We really step in as a conduit to assist them because the government itself, the prison service itself, it can do, but there are some limitations.
That was Rita Nyamupinga of the Female Prisoners Support Trust speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye from Harare. You're listening to Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Coming up, we'll take a closer look at President Mugabe's remarks that he's staying in power due to popular demand. And a clean energy expert says Zimbabweans should build energy-efficient houses. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. Now that U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump has officially clinched the Republican Party's nomination to represent it as its candidate, U.S. President Barack Obama says world leaders he has spoken with are rattled by the presence of Donald Trump as a candidate in the 2016 presidential race and offered his own harsh criticism of the bombastic billionaire. Obama says his fellow leaders are not sure how seriously to take some of Trump's pronouncements, which, quote, display either ignorance of world affairs or a cavalier attitude or an interest in getting tweets and headlines, end quote. A leaked U.S. State Department Inspector General's report says former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton failed to follow guidelines when she used a private email server to conduct work while serving as Secretary of State. Senior State Department officials say there was no evidence Clinton sought approval to use her personal email account to conduct official business and that if she had asked, she would have been told no. And finally, residents fleeing the fierce fighting between Iraqi forces and Islamic State militants in Fallujah are in, quote, a state of shock, reeling from the gunfire and months of near starvation. President Robert Mugabe declared yesterday that he will remain in power as long as Zimbabweans still have faith in his leadership. Addressing ZANU-PF activists who are attending the ruling party's so-called Million Man March, organized to show support for the president amid serious factionalism in ZANU-PF, Mr. Mugabe chided Britain and the West for demanding that he should step down. Mr. Mugabe has been in power for 36 years now, and he clearly stated that he will never relinquish power as long as Zimbabweans vote for him.
I am at the service of the people. If the people feel I should go, I go. But as long as I feel I can serve the people and I can do my best, as I have done in the past, I'll do my best. And then when time comes, fine, I go.
Mr. Mugabe is the party's sole candidate for the 2018 presidential poll. The president will be 94 years old at that time, making him the first person in the world to seek election at that age. What is the impact of his long stay in power? For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached ZANU-PF activist Effort Nkomo and Dumisani Muleya, editor of the Zimbabwe Independent. Nkomo says the president has the backing of the majority of Zimbabweans.
He's the president because the electorate, or rather ZANU-PF, has chosen him as a candidate, and he won the elections. And until the party so says, no, we have played your part, he will stay in that position.
Mr. Mleya, what do you think?
Well, he's just confirming what we have always known. We have known that he has always had ambitions to be president for life. It's no longer a secret. Yesterday was just reaffirming or reinforcing the message. But it has now reached a ridiculous length, as we heard his wife, Grace Mugabe, saying that he will even rule from his grave. Obviously, this is the tragedy that Zimbabwe faces. Leaders who want to be in power until they die. I mean, in this day and age, that is not just tragic, but it's really, really anachronistic.
I think you can hear it, Mr. Nkomo. Some people like Mr. Mleya are saying that, you know, the president has been trying to be there for life. And at the end of the day, even the wife actually said that he may rule even from his grave. How grave is this kind of approach to Mugabe's stay in power?
Well, my understanding is that, fine, anybody can say he will rule from the grave or he will do this and this, but it's the party that should say he is going to do that.
There you are, Mr. Mleya. So indications are that Mr. Mugabe's party is always putting him there and people vote for him. And they voted for him, by the way, in 2013.
Yes, it is actually true that it is his party, not the whole of it. Of course, we remember that they tried in 2007. I remember in one political meeting when Opam Chinguri tried to move a motion that the party must officially declare him president for life or ZANU-PF. That was opposed by the late Vice President Joseph Msiga and the former political member, Dumiso Dabengwa, who said this is an head of in this day and age. How do I know that? I know that because I had the minutes of that meeting and I read them very carefully. So it's something that they've been trying to do in the party, but it's a disgrace, if I may say, in this day and age to be trying to entrench leaders to be president for life, particularly a leader like Mugabe, who has not just failed the country, but who has created a calamity, a disaster for this country. This country, it is now in economic ruins. People are running all over the place to other countries, go to South Africa, there are millions, others overseas. I mean, you can't have a leader with that sort of a record trying to stand before the people and telling them that he wants to be president for life. In fact, that he's going nowhere. And his minions around him saying that he will not just be president for life, but rule for life. It's a total disgrace. It's a tragedy. We don't need such things.
Mr. Nkomo?
Yes, if I can understand what my colleague is talking about, I do and respect his view. But even within a party, some opposition can come, someone can suggest, and they shut down. At the end of the day, what prevails is what the majority will have done, fortunately or not fortunate. But that's the situation when we talk democracy.
And what is the impact of all this, briefly, Mr. Mleya, on Zimbabweans?
It simply means that we are really going to continue on this slippery slope, on that tragic path that has led to destruction of the country. It means that there hasn't been any serious realization within ZANU-PF that what they need to save themselves first and foremost is internal leadership renewal, something that is done by all parties in the region here. They've understood that it's only ZANU-PF that doesn't understand that. And of course, the cost of it will be the destruction of Zimbabwe, the destruction of the livelihoods of Zimbabweans, impoverishment of the country, And at the end of the day, they will even lose the party itself. The whole party will go down with him. He'll go down with the party of the country, which is a bigger tragedy. He's more concerned about his health, which is why he's always flying to Singapore rather than running the country. How many times, which is, I think, one of the scandals in Zimbabwe now, how many times have got to go to office? We really don't know, because he's not really in the office. He only goes there on Tuesdays for cabinet meetings. The other times we hear he holds meetings at some other places, not his office. That tells you that he's no longer coping. So having him as a candidate in 2018 just goes to show that his party and the people around him, they are not just unpatriotic, but they are very insensitive. They have no patriotism in them.
That was Dumisani Muleya, editor of the Zimbabwe Independent Weekly newspaper. You also heard from Effort Nkomo, a ZANU-PF activist based in Bulawayo. Both spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. A clean energy expert urges Zimbabweans to build energy-efficient houses and fully embrace solar energy. Kudzanai Chitiva, co-founder of Natford Energy, a solar installation company, says greenhouses are one effective way of fighting climate change and conserving electricity. Chitiva is one of the 60 Zimbabwean youth chosen for the Mandela Washington Fellowship this year, starting in June. He tells Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo that he's looking forward to the fellowship.
I really feel ecstatic. I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to the opportunity. And, you know, I can't wait to be in Washington and to be at my university in Newark, New Jersey.
Tell us more about what you do and why is it important?
Well, I own a clean energy company specializing in solar installations and obviously solar system design. I'm also part of what we call the Green Building Council, where I'm a founding council member and a board member. So what I do is quite important, especially, you know, when we're looking at issues to do with climate change. You know, basically, we're trying to find ways, you know, to mitigate issues of climate change. And clean energy like solar is obviously one of the ways because, you know, most of the carbon emissions, which is out in climate change from fossil fuel-based power stations. So I believe what I do is really good for the environment and for issues with climate change.
How are we embracing clean energy as a country?
Well, unfortunately, that's where, you know, the real challenge is, because in Zimbabwe right now, we are not really embracing clean energy. The policy framework itself, you know, is not conducive. And obviously, you know, investors, solar companies, and, you know, like-minded companies are finding it very difficult to invest in those technologies here in Zimbabwe.
What exactly do you hope to benefit from this fellowship?
I think one great thing that I see myself benefiting from the fellowship is really the networking. There are so many networking opportunities, you know, not only networking with U.S. Companies or U.S. Business leaders, but also networking with my fellow Africans. And obviously to enhance my skills, because I looked at the course content of what I'll be doing. It is really in direct, you know, coherence with what I'm doing. We're looking at issues of sustainable a supply chain. We're looking at issues to do with emerging markets, which really, you know, addresses the kind of individual that I'm aiming to become.
Kudzanai Chitiba is a 2016 Mandela Washington Fellow and co-founder of Natford Energy, a solar installation company. He spoke with Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo from Harare. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk today at 8:30 p.m. when today's hosts of the Women's Roundtable, Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye and Praxedus Jeremiah, will be talking with listeners and experts about President Mugabe's decision to pardon all women prisoners except two on amnesty. What are your thoughts on this? To share your views, call us on 001-202-619-2077. That number again, 001-202-619-2077. You can also send us a message or number on WhatsApp, and that number is 001-202-465-0318. 001-202-465-0318. And please note that we will be streaming live on Facebook, so tune in. So that brings us to the end of our show today. Thank you very much. So far, before we go, a recap of to our top stories. Some observers say the rift in ZANU-PF will not end if President Mugabe does not resolve the succession question. The MDC formation led by Morgan Tsvangirai says that all is set for for its planned demonstration in Bulawayo this weekend. And some Zimbabweans commend President Mugabe for pardoning thousands of female prisoners. And that's our broadcast this evening. Please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele, hosted by Ntungamile Nkomo. This is Ndimiake Mokalielie here in Washington, wishing you a very, very pleasant evening and a good night.